So we talked earlier about Evander Kane. We've talked a lot about Evander Kane. And really the conundrum he's dealing with, the conundrum that the league is dealing with, the allegations from his estranged wife that he had been gambling on hockey, that he had been throwing games or actively trying to throw games in order to benefit his own gambling habits. And we have not heard from Evander Kane. He issued a statement over the summer, but he sat down with Linda Cohn from ESPN recently, and this was the first time we've seen him, first time we've heard from him. We played some of the audio and video earlier to get into it, but we're going right to the source now. Here she is from ESPN, Linda Cohn, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How you doing, Linda?
I'm doing great, and I really appreciate you having me on your fantastic show. Thanks.
Absolutely. We appreciate you finding time for us, and we played a couple of the clips from earlier today, but what was your general, synopsis of your own interview, your sit-down with Evander Kane? What type of vibes were you picking up in terms of the way Evander was answering your questions?
Well, I thought he was very genuine. I thought he was as honest as he could be. You know, anyone who has seen the interview knows I asked all the tough questions. And to Evander Kane's credit, he knew that going in. You know, he knew that everything was going to be on the table. So I admire him for still wanting to do it. But, you know, there was so much there, so much content that was left on the cutting room floor. Sadly, you know what it's like in TV and radio. You only have a certain amount of time to tell a story. But we wanted to tell a story. And you guys know with the ESPN audience, and this was not just a hockey audience, you're dealing with people that really don't even know Evander Kane, right? You know, most of our viewers perhaps don't know who he is. The hockey community sure does. What he's done on the ice, he's one of the best scorers in the league. But it's off the ice, which is, of course, unfortunately, has been the issue and why he became headline news as we await the NHL to conclude this investigation. But I asked him all the questions about these accusations by his estranged wife, Anna. And, you know, he denied all of it. But he didn't just say, yeah, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Of course, he didn't say he said all that, but he spoke very openly and honestly about in the past that he's had a gambling problem. I asked him if he had gotten help for this gambling problem, and he told me yes. You know, it was serious enough to get help. He didn't deny any of that. He didn't deny any of those kind of things that were out there. I asked him about how his teammates felt about him and about the reports out there that some of his shark teammates didn't want him back, don't think he's easy to play with. And to Evander's credit, he answered that as well, as best he could. And he's learned a lot from all of these off-ice issues. And you know, one more thing that I wish we had time to get in, but he really embraces and enjoys being a dad for the first time. His daughter Kensington is about 1 year old, and that has been the game changer for him. And he told me he doesn't gamble anymore.
How do you think he got himself sitting in front of you today, Linda? I mean, I remember the kid in the World Juniors. He was so young, he had to wear a cage. And then he's a young prospect. And then all of a sudden, years later, like, you're talking about crazy gambling stuff, which you generally don't see in the National Hockey League for whatever reason, I'm not sure. And then all of a sudden, he's just got this kind of world kind of collapsing in front of him. How do you think he got there, or is it simply just an addiction to gambling?
Well, I asked him, how did it all start? So it's interesting you brought that up. And this is some of the things that he mentioned, but he says, well, that's basically an easy one to answer, because as a professional athlete, or just as an athlete, or anyone who gambles, and he starts out for fun, and then you're like, holy smokes, I just won big money. And add that being a professional athlete and that competitive fire in nature, it is hard to cut that cord after you win big. And he spoke about that. He said, the worst thing that happened to me was, some would say the best thing that happened to me would be winning big. And then he always thought he could win big.
Did he say how much you were talking about?
He did not get into that, but I think the numbers are well documented regarding how much, and it's not something he denied. Like, he did not say that the numbers out there are not accurate. Like, when I mentioned the, brought up the Cosmopolitan Casino in Vegas and the $500,000, you know, he didn't blink and say, no, that's inaccurate. And also, which I thought was very forthcoming from Evander, and he brought this up, even though it's kind of been out there and there has been reports of it, but never confirmed by Evander, is the fact, and it just blows my mind, but he talked about it openly with me, that he gambled the night before a playoff game in Vegas against the Golden Knights. And we showed in the interview a quick clip of, and he mentioned, he goes, yeah, and it showed on the ice in my play. And then we showed a clip of him, like, getting into some altercations during that game. And, of course, it did not end well in that game. So
he got kicked out of that game. I remember, like,
correct.
You, I watched the interview today, and I agree with you. I thought he was as candid as he could be. You know, heading into that, you mentioned, you know, you knew that you were going to ask some tough questions. Was there, when you're preparing for something like that, is everything on the table, and then you just pick and choose kind of where you want to head? Because I thought he was very candid on stuff that, and you mentioned even where he said, you know, the worst thing for me was winning big, and then I chased it because of my competitive juices. You know, do you just let the interview kind of go or shape the as he unfolds it, or did you have kind of a pattern where you wanted to head?
Yeah, great question. We spoke for, he gave me an hour of his time. And as you guys know, it is so difficult to figure out when you only have 6 to 7 minutes to tell a story, and that's the long version of, you know, doing so. I was left out of the editing process. This is what happens. You get them. You do the questions. I had a bit of a formula. I listened to what he said. Rare with some people, interviewers, but I listened to what he said, and I followed up when necessary and sort of jumped around. I knew the main topics. I did, again, let me repeat, I did let them, him and his manager, know everything was on the table. Mm-hmm. So we weren't going to do the interview unless they agreed that everything can be on the table. And so it was up to the editor and the team, of like a handful of people around the editor at ESPN, who picked and chose what they wanted to put in. We were basically all on the same page. If you ask me honestly, I wish I had a few more minutes. I would have liked to put in there the whole part about him being a dad and how that's changed him. But they chose to leave that out because they had to pick and choose to get in that time situation.
Right. We're chatting with Linda Cohn of ESPN, and she had an exclusive sit-down with Evander Kane earlier today about his gambling addiction in the past, the gambling allegations that came from his estranged wife, and the league is currently looking into it, and we expect a resolution from the league or some sort of an announcement in the next week or two. Go ahead, O.
Linda, I know you're not a detective, but you've done enough of these where...
I do watch a lot of Law & Order
NCU. Oh, so do I. I watch all of that.
You know, right. I mean, my inner Olivia and Elliot might, you know, come out here. So go for it.
Okay.
So when you're listening to this guy, where every answer is kind of rosy, where I'm gotten back on track, I do not gamble anymore, I do not gamble on my team, I love being a dad, and everything seems rosy, was it all the answers a little bit him fluffing himself up so much on every element of the interview where you thought there's a chance he's full of crap?
I honestly didn't think that. Listen, he didn't have to do this with me, but he did. I know what you're saying. I don't think he came off that way at all. Now, some people might think some of the answers, but you could see the body language. There were a couple of times he was squirming a little bit, and I think that's a normal reaction to anyone who's facing a tough question. But I thought he admitted a lot. I mean, he admitted he had a gambling problem. He admitted he had to get help. He admitted that he gambled the night before a playoff game. He didn't have to say any of that. I didn't ask him that point blank. You know, and he was very decisive on what he did not do. And that was, of course, betting on hockey, betting on one of his games, changing the way he played for someone or for himself, that perhaps bet on a game. He denied all that. And he didn't treat, he, you know, I also asked, which I don't know if it made the final cut when I think about it. I asked, well, all that being said, why would she say these things or post these things? And he's like, I don't know. You know, I mean, he could have really called her out and ripped her. He did not. He took the high road there. Yes, he's going through a divorce. But I think he just wanted people to know, I'm hoping to be judged fairly. I wanted this stage to let people know more about who I am, not just what they read in the headlines off the ice. You know, in our world, guys, I don't have to tell you this, man. In our world where everything is social media and clickbait and, you know, certain questionable media types that only put out certain things, I mean, I don't blame a player to, not toot his own horn, but go to bat for himself, because you really don't know who else you can trust. So I thought he came off very genuine. I really did. And I got a lot of reaction, and I think a lot of people thought they saw a side of Evander Kane they didn't think they'd ever see or even knew existed.
With Linda Cohn of ESPN, and we just saw your tweet about a half an hour ago, you're getting into the podcast game with Emily Kaplan, the In the Crease podcast.
Yes.
So congratulations on that. And that must have been cool
really
being a part
psyched.
Of the whole scene down there in Chicago.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, you guys have lived it. I mean, you know, it was great. I mean, tomorrow's another day, but it's going to be twice a week. You can get the podcast, Apple, Spotify, where anybody listens to podcasts. And it's the In the Crease podcast with Emily Kaplan, an amazing journalist, colleague of mine who I respect great. Now, she's as old as my daughter, guys. So it's almost like a mother-daughter thing here. We both love the game. We're both passionate. And I'm secure enough to say that, by the way. And we have hot takes. It's not going to be fluff. We'll have great player interviews. And matter of fact, I learned so much. I'll tell you right now, after day one, the leader in the clubhouse, best interview, Drew Doughty. Stay tuned.
Not surprising. Not surprising. He's a huge personality, and I think he's going to make some noise this year. Team Canada, he wants to be a part of that Olympic team.
He sure does.
Yep.
He sure does. And I said to him, I'll just tell you a little sneak peek. I mean, there's so much he brought out. But I said, listen, you know, you've been a king. It feels like you've been a king for like 3 decades, not 14 years. And I said, you know, L.A., they look for superstars. And he's like, Linda, he's like, we got enough superstars here. Me and Kopi, we're not done. You know, he made a point like, hold on, you know, no need to bring in some superstar player here and wearing the L.A. Kings sweater. We haven't left yet.
Linda, when you think of great New York Ranger goaltenders, I'm not talking Richter or Henrik Lundqvist. Was there one in the past that you kind of cheered for and kind of thought was a special goaltender for the New York Rangers that nobody really knows about? Can you think of one?
Oh, my gosh. Are you reading my mind? I mean, the reason why I became a goalie, and I don't know if you guys know that, I played with boys half my age because they didn't let girls play with, you know, boys like my age at the time. So as a 14-year-old goalie, I played with 8-year-olds, then graduated to 12-year-old boys. Then I played on the boys' high school hockey team in my high school as a senior year. And then in college, first time I played hockey with women was in Oswego State near Syracuse, New York. And the reason why I bring all that up is Eddie Jockeman was the reason why.
Wow. I thought Jamie McLennan.
I played for six weeks for that.
Sorry, my man. Sorry, man.
We'll take Eddie Jockeman, though.
Number one, and that's why he was always number one. That was my number. But come on, Eddie Jockeman. Come on. Classic. But Jamie, you're not too bad.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, Noodles was. I mean, your jersey's up there in the garden. Is it Noodles or?
Why, isn't everybody's jersey up at the garden?
Close to it. Has to be. Yeah, we'll get you back there for an alumni night, Noodles. We should all get
barely,
down to New York.
I don't even know if I unpacked my gear there. I was like only there for like 6 weeks.
I know. I was going to say, let me go back and look at the timeline.
Yeah. Exactly. Nobody. I think I've started one game, and Mike Dunham was my goaltender partner.
Mike
and every
Dunham,
time they,
great guy.
Every time they announced his name for him starting, he would look at me because the crowd would boo. It was like...
Brian, I don't know if you've seen a hockey game at Madison Square Garden, but it is the best, one of the best fans. It is amazing. Yeah. When they score a goal to hear that Ranger crowd, it's the best. My wife, that's all she wants to do in New York.
I'm telling you, and you know what? I was very fortunate our first go-round since we got hockey back on, you know, on ESPN September 9th of this year, so it was last week. I was back at MSG. I was reporting. They had the NYPD against the FDNY Hockey Heroes game, you know, 2 days removed from 9/11. And there were fans in the stands, guys, at MSG. and I just got chills. I mean, talk about real heroes, those guys. But let me tell you, quality of play of these first responders, police officers and firefighters, incredible on the ice, unreal at MSG.
Love it. Love it. That's a great spot, great event. That's something that I think we'd all support for sure. You know, good luck with this season. Good luck with the podcast, Linda, and everything you guys are doing down at ESPN. We'll be tracking it from up here as always, and we appreciate you taking time. Thank you for doing this.
Let me tell you, anytime, guys. Appreciate
you. You got it. We'll do this again down the road. There she is, Linda Cohn from ESPN. She's got a new podcast out as well, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota. Discover your next Toyota hybrid at Maple Toyota. Come see why Maple Toyota is the best place to get yours. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland.